Cindy Thompson joins me in the studio tonight. She's the author of several books and also writes for the internet genealogy site and Your Genealogy Today magazine. Most recently, we talked with her about the two previous books in her Ellis Island series, and tonight we're going to talk about the third, which is titled Sophia's Tune. Cindy, welcome back.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
So the main character in each of your Ellis Island books is a young female, and in each book, a special talent is also highlighted, along with a number of other things. So in Grace's pictures, it's photography. In Annie's stories, it's her ability to tell stories. In Sophia's tunes, tell us, if you would, about Sophia, her home life, and how her life becomes entwined with Antonio and the art that plays a part in their lives.
Yes, well, Sophia's Tune obviously has a bit of a musical theme. It's my first Italian character, so that's a little different, but lots of Italian immigrants during that time. And I used the icon of his master's voice, the dog listening to the gramophone there. First book was The Brownie Camera, and the second book was The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, which are things that are introduced at that time. And this was a new advertising icon. But as I looked at it, I realized the story is going to be a little bit more about the dog. So I made sure the dog was in the story. And Antonio is a vaudeville musician who really would rather be a concert musician. And so I've added a musical theme in this book.
Well, so the dog is Luigi, also known as Lou. Antonio actually has aspirations to come to Oberlin in Ohio, and he really wants to go beyond the sort of more popular music circuit. So they're both from Italy, but from different parts. So yes. Talk about what challenges that creates in their lives.
It's interesting, the Italians at this time, this is 1903, the biggest group came from the south of Italy, southern Italians. But decades before that, we had the northern Italians come over. Italy hadn't been a unified country for all that long. A generation before could remember when they were really separate kingdoms. And so New York, we think of as being a melting pot, and we have all of these different ethnic groups. But the Italians pretty much kept to themselves. Even their own village, they would all settle in the same buildings and go to the same churches. And so the northern Italians had their church, and the southern Italians had their church, and they didn't much intermingle because they really thought of each other not really as countrymen at that time.
Beyond these two characters, what do those two geographical distinctions cause? What do they create sociologically, so to speak?
The southern Italians were very poor. Northern Italians would have had more opportunity probably by this time and be second generation. And Antonio's not second generation, but he almost is. He came over when he was very young. So he would have had more opportunities. The language even would be a little bit different. I've heard people say that they couldn't understand each other or even thought of each other as being, like I said, Italians. They were very different. They were still both Catholics. They would still have their Catholic church, but the immigrants had built St. Anthony's, which is Antonio's church, where he plays the organ, many generations before that, but it was the immigrants that built that. And then when the southern Italians came over and started going to that church, they, being very different, didn't want to socialize with each other. They had their church in the basement for a while, until they took over the project of finishing this church, Most Precious Blood Church.
So you have something of a gang or turf wars kind of situation also, maybe not as extreme as today, but is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think we think a lot of that, of the Black Hand gang, the threats of the Italians back in that time. And there were different groups, and they didn't always get along, and there were these gangs, but I mean, everybody was not a gangster, of course, and they tend to get pegged that way. And so the police and other people would start lumping all the Italians together and saying, these are all mobsters, these are all the bad guys. Just what we tend to do today,
right?
You know, it's a small faction.
I do want to ask you sort of what the main thing you wanted readers to take away with them from this book, because there's a definite family connection. Mm-hmm. For each of these main characters. But talk about beyond that also. How does that expand in their lives?
Sophia is forced to leave her family, and families were very important to the Italians. I had Irish characters before this, And the Irish women often immigrated as single women, and they would go off and work in homes. But the Italians were not willing to let their daughters go off and do that. And so they were very tight-knit. And I thought, what would happen if she had to leave home? That's what happens in this story, because she goes to Hawkins House, which is the boarding house that's the theme in all of three of the books. And how she gets there is that she can no longer stay with her family because she causes her mother too much pain, and there's trauma that's happened there. And I thought, how can families reinvent themselves? Or they've been in this tight-knit group, how can they expand beyond that? And that's what she has to do by making Hawkins House people part of her family. Sometimes we have these ideas of what our life is going to be like, and we have it all planned out. And I can imagine that that's probably how it was for Sophia, even though they came to America and that was a new thing. But they're living in this tight-knit little community that's almost like the village that she came from anyway. And suddenly she has to change her definition of family, her surroundings, and all of that. And that's where another theme besides music comes from, Sophia's tune, where she has to change her tune and to change her view of what she thought her life was going to be into something that maybe just as good, maybe even better.
Tell us, will there be more in the Ellis Island series, or does this wrap it up? And if so, what's next?
This is the third book, the final book in the series. However, I have just been recently entertaining the idea of maybe doing a novella that would be a prequel. And the reason is because Mrs. Hawkins, who's the owner of the boarding house, and she's in all three books, and in Annie's stories, we talk a little bit about her past, how she came to be the charitable kind of person that she is, and she talks a lot about her husband who is deceased. So I've been toying with the idea of making this a prequel of her story. When she's a young girl in Ireland, how she escaped the things that she escaped and how she met her husband, Harold, that she liked to quote a lot in Annie's stories, a lot of wisdom from him.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us tonight, for taking us down this trip into our past here in America. And we'll look forward to whatever is next from you.
It's my pleasure. I hope everybody will come visit me on my website.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. I've been talking with Cindy Thompson about her latest novel in the Ellis Island series. It's titled Sophia's Tune, and you'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. Thanks for listening in tonight. I'm Barbara Gray.